atheists, and they were actually very fiercely anti-religious. And no other 13-year-old son wanted to go to church. And this was not acceptable to his parents. Noah persisted, "I want to go to church, Mom and Dad." And his parents relented the day that Noah's father realized that if his nastiest shouting matches with his child were about wanting to go to church, then maybe he should just let this one go. And so they helped Noah find a church, a good, respectable Anglican church, where everyone keeps their arms down, and where people, where they only say amen when they're told to do in the text. And you know this, not a kid, this young man, he came to church every Sunday, all by himself, taking a subway down. So early on, I asked Noah the question that perplexed me. I said, "Noah, I don't even get why you come to church," which is not to ask the question to ask a new visitor on Sunday morning. But I asked him that. I said, "Like, how did you know anything about faith at all to know that you wanted to learn more?" And I think I've told this story to some of you grandparents, because he gave me an answer I will never forget. This is what he said. "When my grandmother would come to visit, she would pray at bedtime with me. And she told me there is a God and that he loves me. And I promised myself one day I would find out who he is." One tiny seed of faith planted in a young child's heart, bedtime prayers, a few conversations with grandma, one tiny seed of the kingdom planted in seemingly hostile, thorny environment. And I bet there were times when his grandma looked at the situation and thought, "It's impossible. Faith cannot grow here." But as Christians, we are not to pass judgment on the soil. As Christians, we're to be like the sower. The point is, it's not up to us, actually, to assess the quality of the soil, saying faith can't grow here. It's not for us to despair over a situation saying that, no, God can do nothing here. If we have a handful of seed, some words of the kingdom to offer, and with love, then we can cast them everywhere, even on soil that we believe to be hopelessly rocky. The recklessness of the sower in this parable also got me to thinking about how we spend our resources as a church. I think this parable asks us not to be stingy, but to take risks in ministry. A harvest may not come. A harvest may not come. But based on the example of the sower, we are obviously meant to continuously give it the old college try. I'm sure there's a more religious way to say that, but you know what I mean. So we launch a new ministry for a time, and if it doesn't prosper, well, we've tried, and that's good. We've cast the seed. And we try another ministry for another time, and lo and behold, a harvest comes, and that's good too. The point is, wherever we are standing, wherever we are, there is land. And we cast seeds of the kingdom on that soil because nobody gets left out. Nobody is judged unworthy. The parable of the sower also reminds us to expect things in the church to be messy. The parable of the sower comes slotted amongst a whole bunch of other parables describing really unorthodox farming techniques. So a shepherd goes after one sheep, leaving all the other sheep behind. What was he thinking? A landowner pays workers who come late. He pays them the same wage as those who started early in the day. When his laborers say, "There are weeds among the wheat," he says, "Just leave it. Don't yank the weeds out. Let them grow alongside the good wheat, and we'll sort it out later." And then there's our reckless sower who's casting seed everywhere on good soil and hopeless one. And so this is the farm. This is the farm that Jesus is commending. And if he wants his church to be like this farm, you just know that anybody can show up and anything can happen. Canadian pastor Mark Buchanan tells the story of a woman in his congregation out west in Vancouver area somewhere. And her name was Wanda. And she had a substance addiction, which she supported through her profession, the oldest profession in the world. But it caught up to her, and CAS took her kids. And she knew she was going to have to make big changes if she wanted them back, and that's how she ended up in Mark Buchanan's church, telling him her story, hearing in turn the story from the Gospel of Mark, and deciding to become a Christian right then and right there. Mark invited her to come to church, and she came to church, and in fact, the following week, she came back, and she brought a friend from the street. And they both sat there, listening to Mark preach on servanthood that morning. And Mark's point in his sermon was, when we experience Jesus' love, the result of that experience makes us want to serve other people. And Wanda and her friend were loudly agreeing with everything that Mark was saying in his service. Now, the elders at Mark's church, they were called the Servant Leadership Team. And when he called the Servant Leadership Team to come forward to help with communion, guess who also got up? Wanda, hearing the calls to serve, strode forward in her spiky heels, her fishnet stockings, her short skirt, and her crop top. And I love that Mark confesses that he panicked. He said, I panicked. That he was thinking, I need to explain to her what she's misunderstood. But just as he was leaning over to explain to her who the leadership team was, it was as though Jesus, he said, inserted himself between him and Wanda, saying, Mark, do you see this woman? Do you see what it looks like when someone has been forgiven much and loves much? So Wanda served her first communion ever, right beside Mark, delighted, as were the majority of people who received communion from her. Thankfully, Mark said he had seen her properly in time. Of course she belonged. Who was he to judge the soil? God had planted a good seed, and very clearly that seed had taken root. So we should expect church to be a bit of a strange mix of people, recovering addicts and addicts, respectable business people, grieving widows, happy toddlers, doubters and believers, because God runs a very unorthodox farm. God is the sower, casting the seeds of his kingdom, never excluding anyone, because the good news of Jesus is for all. And for our part, this means no judging the soil. So to all of us this morning, I want to say, don't worry today about figuring out what kind of soil you are. You can do that at home on your own if you want. Because here's the thing, God has already cast seeds of his kingdom into your life. Because God is generous like that, and his good news is for each of you, whether or not you receive it. So I simply want to ask, to leave you with this question, where has God planted seeds of faith in your life? If you had to name the times and ways in which those seeds of faith have been planted for you, what would they be? And if you can see the seeds, how do you want to respond to the one who has sowed them in you? Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Loving Lord God, we thank you that you run an unorthodox farm and that you have modeled well, you call us to model our communities on that generous and gracious and abundance and kind kingdom of yours. We ask your forgiveness for those times we have judged soil, we have judged others. We ask you that you would break open our hearts with the kindness and grace and mercy of your Son. Help us to see others with your eyes. Help us to generously cast the seeds of your kingdom, modeling your generosity, modeling your hope, modeling your kindness. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.